This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. You want to sell your house? Well, look to Mark Spain and get to packing. All right, let's get right to it. He is the Hall of Fame. Well, look, you are all involved in the Georgia High School football, co-chairman of that, goes to the steakhouse. One Rusty Manziel. Rusty.
Blah, 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 blah. Let me tell you something.
I have four daughters, so that's called the wedding fund, Rob.
That's the wedding fund.
I am four higher.
God bless you. I've got one, and I don't want the smoke. I can tell you that.
My Venmo is like an FBI investigation waiting to happen with those daughters.
Y'all going to have to handle this. I'm not talking to Rusty. Georgia Bama hate week. You know what I mean?
Oh, man. All right, Rusty.
Do we have to start with that game, or can we start somewhere else?
Well, no, I think we got to start with Matthews. leaving UNLV, and here's what NIL is creating. It's creating an entitled, self-obsessed group of young men, and I don't blame them, because that's what's available to them. That's the complication of the whole matter.
I think we should get away with the word NIL and just go for pay for play. Yeah. I mean, that's what it is. Like, there's no, that guy's don't have an advertisement. He didn't have a billboard in Las Vegas. I mean, those types of things. And, you know, Travis Hunter is name, image, likeness. Brock Bowers last year was name, image, likeness. You know, these guys are on this Celsius commercial. That's name, image, likeness. A kid getting $25,000 a month as a freshman and at places, that's pay to play. So there's a lot of things. I'll say this. There's a lot of opinion on this. Be real careful which side you kind of choose in this, because this is the day and age. This is what's going on. But you don't know what this kid was promised. You don't know the private conversations that was had. It doesn't mean that Barry Odom was aware of what was going on. This kid's got an agent, like Mike said. You don't even know if this agent is registered. NFL, you have to be a registered agent. There's no laws in NCAA. It's just
– well, there is in the state of Nevada. So that complicates things as well. And it's just funny because you mentioned the pay-for-play thing. It is funny how quickly – when it's not beneficial that you see the UNLV go to and go, well, we don't mess with pay-for-play.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah,
we're out on that.
But I mean,
the minute you talk about that, we're out. I'm like, yeah, dude, sure.
Ask All-American Ricky White from Marietta High School why he didn't go to Notre Dame in the offseason. And I can tell you there was some – it wasn't about the tutors at UNLV. I can tell you that.
And that's the thing for me is I've heard it compared to Jaden Rashada's situation. It's completely different. The Rashada thing was an NIL collective that
third party.
Yeah. And the coach, when the player went – in the lawsuit, the coach basically just said, yeah, that's still good, that the collective is still good for that. This is a coach – this is supposedly, allegedly, a coach basically saying, you know what, here's we can get you this. I bet we could get you this amount of money. And the player took him for his word, hired an agent.
He's got a real agent. He's got an NFL agent that represents high-level
Marcus
guys.
Marcus Cromartie. Is the name. Their agency, the Marcus Cromartie is a part of, actually represents Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
It's a legit agency.
Yep. They're in an impasse. That's it. Hey, let's do talk about it. I was just kidding when I said I don't want to talk about Alabama, Georgia. I really want to talk about it. Mike brought it up earlier, and we kind of debated about it, about the way Jalen Milroe is being used this year.
Totally different.
Yeah, and basically they're saying, where last year it felt to me like it was a situation where we want you to be a complete quarterback. Mm-hmm. We want you to the last thing we want you to do and you want you to rely on is your legs.
Yeah.
Now it's like, hey, they're
single
gonna
wing.
Yeah, they're basically
single wing.
They're taking away one or the other.
Yeah.
And you're gonna take which one?
It's a tailback in the eye. It's a third running back. And they go to this at times when they need it. If you look at the South Florida game, the football nerd me, I watched the South Florida game last night. When they needed yards, they went to quarterback power. And last year, when you look at what they did with him, you know, when you take a zone read and you do that with Jalen Milroe and you get him out in space, when he breaks the line of scrimmage and he gets a first down, he can simply slide down and let's spot the ball and go. When you run quarterback power and you get him 20 in tackles, you're going to take shots. So that's the end game with that. You know, and that's different because you got this big athlete. So then the real football nerd goes in, and I go watch Texas versus Washington. I'm like, there's no way they use Penix like this. And you go back and watch Texas versus Washington, absolutely they use Penix in the run game in that particular game. So
yeah. You had to.
So when you look at Kalen DeBoer and his brand and his offense, he's going to have that in his game. He just so happens to have a 225-pound big-ass athlete right now who throws a fantastic deep ball. I mean, there's a lot of things that worry you in that. For Georgia's sake, it worries you because you got to defend a true running back now at quarterback, and he can throw it over top of you. For Alabama's side, you worry about the shots he can take.
Should they be watching Indiana film of Penix and DeBoer together? Because remember when DeBoer was with Penix in Indiana, they used him as a running quarterback.
I guarantee you Georgia's watched every ounce of tape that you can find on Kalen DeBoer the last 5 years offensively.
My question was going to be, how much do you think they're watching last year's SEC title game? Because I don't know. I think there's some stuff you can probably take away, but it is completely different.
It is different.
It is different.
That was a lot of zone read stuff.
Right.
I think the one thing, there was the third down in particular in the South Florida game in the second half, maybe. This is what scares you. They have a dialed up blitz, South Florida, and the guy comes unblocked and he makes him miss, and everybody else is in man coverage. You know what he does? He runs it for about 18.
I brought the same thing up, and I was talking to a couple people yesterday. It's like, do you go to zone? You have to do a little bit of everything.
I think
when it comes to Ryan Williams, Bama's smaller 17-year-old wide receiver, it's been talked about a million times. It's almost like he's the kind of guy you would want to physical up and go press, you know, press at the line of scrimmage.
Yep.
Problem is, when you put him in motion and or try to man him up on the outside, you are turning and running with him. You're running vertical down the field, and there's a lot of space left behind you. I want to talk about the health of this defensive line, right, for Georgia, because I think that is such a huge – you talk about Kentucky and whether or not you could run the ball and Kentucky having success. Update us a little bit on the health of those guys.
Going to get Warren Brinson back, and that's a big piece of the puzzle. I ran into Warren Brinson a couple weeks ago. I was doing some interviews for Fox 5, and I remember walking down the hall. I was like, damn, I forgot how big Warren Brinson is. This is a 6'5 D tackle now. Mykel Williams, I think, is going to give it a go. And you look at him, and I believe it was Jordan Reed, the NFL guy. He had him the number one overall pro prospect in the offseason. Like, he's the number one player, could be the number one draft pick. He's probably going to give him as much as he can. I don't think it's 100%. And if you get him 15, 16 snaps and he gives you a pressure or two, it's a win-win there. Jordan Hall, the other kid, I don't think he's going to be able to go, in my opinion. So getting Warren Brinson back helps because those guys had to take a lot of snaps. There's a kid, you know, he's talking about a young guy, Joseph Jonah Ajanye, the kid from Texas last year. He just turned 18, and he's playing D-tackle. He's playing DN at Georgia. 6'5 kid from Nigeria, 6'5, 295.
When did he start playing football?
I'll tell you what, man. It's a grown-ass man, young kid. So that's a kid that's really played some against Kentucky. He's coming on. But, Mike, going back to some of the things we talked about with Ryan Williams. Ryan Williams is a five-star, one of the smoothest, most effortless kids I've ever seen at a camp. Like, I was like, who is this guy running by everybody? And made it look easy.
Right.
Well, I mean, if you're Georgia, Malachi Starks, he was a five-star, projected first-rounder. K.J. Bolden, he's a five-star, going to be a first-rounder. I mean, this is what type of matchup it is. Like, you got to be able to run with these dudes. There's going to be dudes all over the field. I think the biggest thing for Georgia is being able to get Jalen Milroe to the ground because he bounces off so many people to turn a three-yard gain into 6 and 7.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. My last question for you on this game, and I know there are other games that Bo's scratching and clawing over here. Can they protect Carson Beck without Tate Ratledge?
We're going to find out. I mean, that's
I had the same answer yesterday when I was asked.
There's so many questions. You just don't know. Yeah. This is one of those things. Monday, that Georgia is going to know this about their team. Alabama's going to know this about their team. Listen, Georgia lost a lot in the receiver game, though you don't sugarcoat that. Lad McConkey's gone. Brock Bowers is gone. Marcus Rosemy, Jack Saint is gone. Alabama, Terrion Arnold is gone. Caleb Downs is gone. Kool-Aid McKinstry is gone. So there's questions. How good is Alabama's secondary, and how good is Georgia's wide receiver corps? We're going to find that out. We're also going to find out if Georgia's offensive line had a one-out game where they didn't play well, and they came back and played well, or they have struggles this weekend because Alabama's front and their front seven, to me, is still elite there.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting how both teams have their struggles. South Florida, Alabama, Georgia had their little struggle with Kentucky.
It wasn't a little struggle.
It was a massive struggle.
There was some fingernails going in the fourth quarter.
It wasn't a little struggle in South Florida either. Yeah. I was at that game, man. It was a six-point game with about 5 minutes left.
I was surprised watching that game. I forgot how late that was with that game, but it's a different type of offense. It stresses you out. There's no telling what they had to face with that.
Is Brett Bielema about to get his second road upset in a row? Because they're at Happy Valley this weekend, and Illinois is all of a sudden got a pulse.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you look at the Nebraska game, and that was a crushing loss for Nebraska. And it was so bad that the Nebraska AD wrote the conference letters that we don't play on Friday night anymore. I don't know what that had to do with it, but Illinois is one of those sneaky teams. I'm not going to say I'm the expert, but there's people that think that Penn State is really sneaky good, like really sneaky good. We're kind of going to find out about them a little bit this week because we know Illinois is going to be a good opponent. How good are they? I don't know, but there's some people that think Penn State's sneaky good.
I think this playoff was made for them.
They got two good. I got two running backs. I'm telling you now. I watched Singleton in person in practice. That dude can go.
I can't let you get out of here without asking you about the situation in Auburn. And I'm not listening. If you're an Auburn fan, listening, I'm just not a Bama guy or Georgia guy taking shots at Auburn. That seems to me like a situation that has gone south.
It is
quickly.
I don't know why Hugh Freeze continues to put blame on players. And I'm telling you right now, I think Hugh Freeze is a hell of a play caller. I think this guy can win. But at some point, you got to say, you know what? I'm protecting my kids. I've got to coach him up harder, and I got to put him in better situation. You can't walk into a press conference and go, I'm going to find somebody that can throw it because we got guys open. It's basically saying my scheme's working and my kid's not doing
it.
It's
not my problem.
Dude, you don't do that.
That's coaching 101.
You don't do that. And I'm telling you, any angle you can use to recruit against a school, don't think that mamas aren't hearing
that's
that.
That's what I was going to say. They've dominated the state of Alabama in recruiting this offseason. They've really dominated it.
Yeah,
but
really
I'm going to tell you right now, there are guys that are sniffing around.
And you got to hold on.
Yes.
You got to hold on.
Yeah.
He's also disrespecting other coaches. Walking in a press conference and saying, well, or whatever it was, his coach's show, whatever it was, all due respect, 9 out of 10 times we'd beat them. Well, hell, you didn't beat them the one time you had to play.
He said, I love Sam, but.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's kind of like what y'all were talking about earlier about, well, they play hard. You know what I mean?
Don't hire coaches with personality disorders that are diagnosable. Yeah, that's all I have to say about that.
I tell you what, it's
somebody posted the picture, Rob, of him in the hospital room when he was at
the Liberty. Hey, he plays hard. I was an effort guy. You know what I mean? That's not good in high school. You ever see Rusty Mansell play? Man, he was a hell of an effort, man.
I tried to find – you tweeted a picture of me. I was like, I'm going to find Rusty in high school.
Oh, dude, it's rough. I'll send you one.
Rusty Mansell, bless his heart. That's what they said, right?
Bless his heart.
Bless his heart.
He gives it all he got, man. He gives it all he's got.
Thank you, brother. We appreciate you, man.
Oh, good stuff.
All right. Speaking of personality disorders, we got Grant McCauley coming up next.
We love you, Grant.
We love you, Granny. He knows that. We're going to talk about the turbulent waters of Major League Baseball as pertaining to this rainout with the Mets, what's going to happen, how the pitching's going to be organized with the Braves as the Royals come to town. Grant McCauley next on the Morning Shift, Sports Radio 1990.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Hey, you can win tickets to Dega for the Sunday, October 6th race.
Dega, baby.
Let's do the fifth caller now, 404-726-0929.
His name is Grant. He's from, okay.
let's go out to Grant McCauley.
Grant's going to Dega.
Grant, what's going on, brother? Good morning.
Well, just quite the eventful final weekend and maybe an extra day of the season, as it turns out.
What's the pitching lineup going to look like? What's Nick going to do? How's he going to navigate these waters?
That's going to be an interesting question. You know, just getting through the weekend, which is going to be important because it could also inform how Monday's doubleheader goes or doesn't go in full. I haven't gotten to work on my Venn diagram yet on what has to happen this weekend
right.
for the Diamondbacks, for the Mets, and for the Braves to decide, you know, the final two playoff spots, because the Padres are there. They weren't able to beat the Dodgers yesterday, but they still have a chance at the National League West, so that's got to be decided. But those two teams are kind of on an island by themselves. Or maybe they're on the mainland and the other teams are on the island. I don't really know. But they've got to figure out what to do with Chris Sale so that they can have him, you know, used at his maximum level or maximum need that they have, and then go with Max Fried and Charlie Morton, I think, because you want to win this Royals series as best you can and set up strong starting pitching there. So that's one thing. Spencer Schwellenbach obviously is off the table until the doubleheader on Monday. And then you just have to kind of sort out, where does Ronaldo Lopez fit in all of this? Is it a Lopez tries to give you four or five, then you have Grant Holmes ready in case that can't happen, and you use the bullpen the rest of the way? Do you utilize one of the starting pitchers that I'm sure is still hanging around from AAA Gwinnett, whose season ended last week, in case you need them and you've kept them going because that's just kind of the backup plan? But do you want to be talking about backup plans when you're trying to get into the postseason? Probably not. So this weather has created an incredible and unprecedented series of events, the likes of which even somebody like me, who feels like I can look at the standings and typically figure out what needs to happen pretty easily, I'm doing a lot of math, and I don't know that that's my strong suit right now.
Grant, you brought up the possibility of a bullpen game, and I was kind of making the argument earlier that I know that this throws the starting pitching and all the probables and everything in kind of a tailspin. I would say the more affected group might even actually be the bullpen. When you look at taxing a group with that many games and that many days in high-leverage situations, a guy like Raisel Iglesias, who's been called on a number of times this year to pitch multiple innings in a game, I would say you might even be taxing the bullpen more than you are the starting pitchers based on the series of events you're going to be in over the weekend and into next week.
Yeah, it definitely could. I mean, and that's the big thing about, can your starting pitchers deliver over the course of the weekend so that Monday you can be a little bit more liberal with the bullpen, but also knowing that you immediately have to go into a wild card series right after that if you get through all of these things in order to get there. But that's kind of the argument, or kind of what they're playing for right now. And I know Brian Snitker said, hey, look, you know, coming into the Mets series, we're already looking at this. It's like the playoffs are starting this week with the final two series plus whatever happens after that. But at some point, you know, with no off days, you have to figure out who's available and what those workloads are to be realistic about it. But I do think Ronaldo Lopez is kind of the wild card in all of this. But the fact that he's been down for a couple of weeks, he did throw a bullpen on Tuesday, felt good, and I think that he's lined up to come back and help them. But how much can you realistically ask from him, I think, is that big question. So, again, if you can get some innings out of him, like a good chunk of innings to start the game and make it more manageable, then I guess you could use what I would call kind of a, not a full bullpen game, but a little bit along those lines. But then again, and none of this stuff is perfect. None of these scenarios are ideal. Do you really want to be in a win-or-go-home scenario where you're having to throw a bullpen game? Probably not. Mm.
Grant, it was an awesome atmosphere. What, I guess it was Tuesday night at the Truist. But talk about Ozzie Albee's return and just what it means to the lineup, because I know it's easy to knock how the lineup looked without him, but it looks just so much deeper with Ozzie because of how you can move people around in the order.
Yeah, I mean, it means a lot to them in the lineup, but I think it meant as much or more just to have him back out there from a continuity standpoint of just how much he's been a part, ingrained in what the Braves do and when they're successful. And the fact is, they needed somebody, I feel like, to walk through that door maybe to provide a little bit of that boost. And also for what he does on the field. You know, I feel for a guy like Whit Merrifield, who decided to play through a broken foot just to get them to the point where maybe Ozzie Albies does come back and he's kind of the odd man out in this scenario. But you also can understand it from the, you know, big picture sense. This was a guy that they very much wanted to get back. I was a little surprised that he jumped into the two spot of the order. I don't know that that's the final spot for him. I mean, the Braves shuffled their lineup at times, even in the 2021 postseason, all the way down to Game 6 in the World Series. So wherever he hits, just the fact that he's in there, I think, is valuable. But now you've got Michael Harris on a serious tear. Jorge Soler has been swinging the bat well. Marcelo Ozuna seems to be kind of back to his normal antics for the season, or his normal accomplishments, I should say. And then you've got Matt Olson also swinging the bat extremely well for a number of weeks. So you throw Ozzie Albies into that mix, that's a pretty good group that you feel like can generate some runs scored. And even Ramon Laureano has been one of the Braves' better hitters and more productive hitters over the last month plus since he's basically taken over left field.
All right, Grant, got a two-parter for you. Number one, how much are the Dodgers going to pay Max Fried? And number two, of all the retreads, who's been the most pleasant surprise?
Number one, I don't know that it'll necessarily be the Dodgers because they spent an awful lot of money last season on two starting pitchers, one of whom has never thrown a pitch for him yet. So who knows? Actually, three starting pitchers because Tyler Glasnow goes on that list. And I don't know. In terms of retreads, what are we talking about here? What's the criteria?
Who's been the most impactful? I see Laureano's been a bit of a revelation.
It's a good one.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, obviously, you've gotten some good stuff from Gio Urshela, I feel like, especially defensively. He's starting to swing the bat a little bit better here lately. And I mentioned Whit Merrifield. I mean, there was a period of time where you needed somebody to step in and give you something at second base, and he's the guy that did that. So everybody kind of plays a part to get through the dog days of summer. And when you're a team that's been through as much injury as the Braves have, you're definitely thankful that you've had not one, but a handful of guys that have come in and been able to bridge those particular gaps.
Grant, it almost brought a tear to my eye. We saw a situation on Tuesday night where Ozzie hits a ball to the right side of the infield, I think gets a run home. Some situational hitting that we just haven't seen at times this year, right? We've kind of brought it up. It's not really small ball. It's just, you rely so much, especially last year, on the long ball, and then you get these injuries, and it's kind of like you have to change your identity. But I think with guys like Michael Harris and Ozzie Albies back, you can start to lean more into your identity a little bit more. I guess my question is, with so many high-leverage games on the horizon this weekend, do you think situational hitting is going to play an important part in how this regular season pans out?
Yeah, no, I think you can kind of live and die on that. Inside of certain situations in the game, we've seen that, hey, if you don't cash in here, you may not get another opportunity. Yeah. And that, I feel like, has been kind of what's hurt the Braves because they're hitting their home runs, but they're not necessarily coming in those spots, and they're not necessarily coming with a bunch of guys on base just in general. So that's been something that's, we're a long way from 2023 as far as this offense is concerned, but they still have talent in this lineup that you look at and you feel like, all right, well, man, this group can't get a little bit more going. I know there's no Ronald Acuna Jr. I know there's no Austin Riley, and you can't do anything about those things now. But this is a group, especially, again, 1-5, 1-6 in the order, that should be able to do a little bit more. But I don't expect them to change their identity insofar as they're just going to start bunting and hit and run and start running wild. I mean, you got Michael Harris can steal some bases. I think Ozzie could pick his spots, maybe Ramon Laureano. But other than that, this is not really a team that's built with a lot of speed. But it doesn't mean that they can't do some small and fundamentally sound things like putting the ball in play at times in which you can't afford a strikeout. And just trying to get another run home, whether it's a sac fly, whether it's a grounder up the middle that finds its way through, whatever the case is, they've got to do the little things because I do think that it means a lot more to them this year and their success than it did a year ago when they were just pummeling teams into submission, hitting 4-5 home runs and scoring 6, 7, 8 runs a night.
All right, Grant, go do your math.
It's a Venn diagram. It's a Venn diagram.
You're going to need algebra.
Looking forward to it.
One step at a time. Yeah. Geometric proof. Thank you, Grant.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good morning.
All right, what's coming up in your little segment?
Rob, I got to tell you before we get to his tease, I brought this up yesterday. I asked him the question, who's the leading stolen base guy for the Atlanta Braves? Do you know who it is? This year, who's leading the Braves in stolen bases?
Travis Darnold.
No, God, it's not that bad. That would be, he leads them with two.
Yeah. Ronald Acuna.
That's crazy.
I wanted to ask, Grant, you want them to play small ball. That's just not who they are, man. The whole thing with the hit and runs is something they just don't do.
Maybe that could be another version of yourself. You have limited numbers of throws allowed
multiple
to first base and a bigger bag at second base, so maybe look into it.
There you go.
All right, what you got, brother?
Yeah, we got a retirement in the NBA and a documentary that might need to be fact-checked a lot on Netflix.
Oh, dear.
Uh-oh.
Next on the Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, and
the Odyssey app.
That's right.
Probably one of the best videos you'll ever see, this Herbie Hancock video with all the robots. Welcome back to the Morning Shift. Sports Radio 929 The Game. Jacob from Hampton, Ryan from Fairburn. Going to Dega.
Dega. Hell on Dega.
Dega, baby. Yeah, we need to get to start doing more with Landmark Speedway. Atlanta Motor Speedway. Okay.
AMS.
AMS.
This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com and get to packing. Of course, no Braves baseball tonight. Royals coming to town and at least one game on Monday against the Mets. We'll get back with Grant McCauley since he's doing the Venn diagrams to figure out the scenarios.
I got to tell you, Rob, you being in here on a Thursday has completely thrown me into a spiral. I literally almost looked at you. I almost looked at you and said, "What are you doing this weekend, Rob?"
Yeah.
Hey, no, got you tomorrow.
Let me ask you a trivia question. We had trivia last night. I haven't played trivia in years. And this is a trivia question. I was like the only one that, and I think in our table that I was the first one on our table to say it, the answer, and was right. What's the only state?
What? Just nobody that gives himself credit as much as Bo does. I was the first one to answer it. It was right.
Hey, let me tell you something. Abe Gordon beats me every time at that. Abe Gordon does have an answer for everything. Or they'll have a great feat. And I heard Duke Samoa talking this other day, and it was spot on, making me laugh in the truck. But, like, you'll say, "Can you believe so-and-so did this?" And Abe's like, "It's not that hard. All you got to do is these four things at a time, and you can get there." And I guess I'm that in a different extent. But what's the only state that borders like an ocean and has a great lake in it, and it also has a great lake located in the state? One of the great lakes.
It's got to be.
That'd be New York.
Pennsylvania.
Final answers.
Yeah. What is it?
It's New York. Good job, Rob.
Thank you. Yeah.
Because they have what the lake
it's
that
a long state.
They have, well, we got to remember Buffalo is right across a great lake from Toronto.
That's right.
And then you have the bay and everything out there. And so that's what I got. I was like, "Well, it's got to be New York." And they're like, "No, are you sure?" And I said, "Yeah, hell, I'm Squidbilly."
We're waiting on the beat to drop.
But wait, there's more.
Oh, okay.
We are not just brought to you by the W Sauce anymore. We're also brought to you by New Realm Brewing Company. The official craft beer partner for Kennesaw State Athletics. What? KSU, baby. New Realm. They got a craft beer just for the Owls. Hoo-da-hoo.
Did you tell them that you drink cranberry vodka mostly?
Yeah.
Didn't tell me? Okay. All right. Yeah, continue.
I drink a lot of beer, my friend.
Okay.
I just drink vodka at times, too, because, sometimes you're drinking all day. I want to switch it up. Don't you worry about what Squidbilly drinks. All right?
We're talking about yourself in the third person.
You worry
get
about
to the
you.
Freaking story.
You worry about you.
Get to the story.
I have to sit here and play games of trivia. Get asked if it's fair or foul. Listen to your horrible top fives. You can hear me talk about my sponsors. Okay. I'm ready now, Robert Tribble. Derrick Rose has announced his retirement. Derrick Rose was a phenomenal.
What might have been had he stayed healthy?
Phenomenal college basketball player. Injuries got there. He had some comments. I think he wished he would have walked back at times, about knees and everything and how it affected his family life. And I think he regretted that. But he had one of the a really cool statement. He told Chris Haynes from an NBA insider. He goes, "Look, basketball was and always will be my first love. As a teenager, I had a goal of becoming an NBA player, and I achieved that. This isn't a goodbye to the game I love. It's a thank you." He also went on to say that, it's to some other guys in the business that he gave his all, and he feels confident in the decision, and it was just beginning. Now it's important. He gives all of his love to his family. They deserve that. I think Derrick Rose was we saw him as a young player, and don't know if I really understood him, but, man, he grew into a hell of an adult.
It's crazy that, some of these guys that are, one-and-done college players and some of these guys that go straight to the pros, you forget how young some of them become when it's all said and done. Like, they're 10 years into their NBA career, some of them, and they're 28 years old. You're like, Jesus, like, this guy's been around forever. He isn't even 30 yet. But he was definitely a guy that fit in that mold for me, man. But great player. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and I think it's cool to see guys that they're one-and-done players and you don't know what they are because they were there for a year and then they're boom and they're in the NBA and they're making millions of dollars.
Where did he go to college? Was he at Memphis?
Memphis. Remember that was
a national title game.
Yeah, that was the Memphis team that blew they blew it at the end by missing all the free throws. And so it's kind of cool to see him I don't want to say just mature, but just grow into a guy who really understood how not only gifted he was to be able to play basketball and how great of an athlete he was, but how lucky he was to be able to experience that and get as much time as he did in the league. The Mr. McMahon documentary is out. So this is Netflix. I think Bill Simmons did this documentary. It's on Netflix. Now, apparently Vince McMahon tried to buy the documentary because I don't think it wanted it released. But it's one of these documentaries where basically it's kind of like fact-checking itself because you're going through things. There's interviews where they'll have one guy, a part of WWE, who is still a part of, like Bruce Pritchard went on there, and he's a big part of all these wrestling podcasts, and he talks about how reports of kind of sexual assault and misconduct is unsubstantiated, and then they have an interview literally that plays right after it, and they say, "Why didn't you like so and so?" "Yeah, they kind of touched me. They kept touching me." And I'm not going to use the exact phrasing. And he goes, "Well, can you explain?" He says, "Well, yay.
Yeah. I was assaulted."
he grabbed me in my, my jewels. And so it's just kind of, so it's basically going through and fact checking. I actually want to watch it because I think all of us, I don't know about you, Robin, I know Mike and I grew up as wrestling fans.
Oh, I did, yeah.
And we especially during when I was growing up, it became like the heyday, the NWO, WCW, you had, the WWF Attitude Era with Stone Cold and DX and The Rock and all these guys. So it's gonna be interesting, but I think in all of this, probably at the end of the documentary, we'll just kind of come to the realization that we probably already know, which is Vince McMahon is not necessarily the nicest human being on earth, allegedly.
He's a flawed man, but, most of us are.
All right, going to come back, hand it off to the steakhouse. Got Rusty and steak. Coming up top of the hour.
Can we just get steak out and we do it Rusty and talk like Alabama, Georgia for 2 hours?
Right. It's the morning show, Sports Radio 99 again.